Jenny's back.
Debbie's back. Julie's back.
Don's back.
Dave, Barbara back.
Linda's back.
Alrighty then. I think most all of you know Doc Hitt. I guess I've known him probably since Mike and I were 13. I think we're about 2 weeks apart in our birthdays. But we had an outing down on the Elk River, and a lot of people came over for that, and that was my first introduction to Don and his family. And and I know that the Lord's put things on Don's heart to bring to us this morning, and I'd ask you all to give him your best virtual smiles and your prayers. And I'll turn this over to my brother, Don Hitt.
Okay. First of all, I want to ask, are there any questions? I think a lot of rumors and stuff go around and everything, and if there's anything that you've heard or that you'd like me to talk to you about or anything, well, this would be a good time to do it. Okay, I'm going to talk from Romans 14:17, and it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." I'm going to touch just lightly on righteousness and the Holy Ghost, and then concentrate on peace. By faith, we receive the Holy Ghost. We believe that we received it when the ministers laid their hands on us. Notice in Moroni or Mormon chapter 2:2, notice all the ye's in here. And now these men are laying hands on your head after baptism, and here's what it says. Ye shall call on the Father in my name in mighty prayer. And after you've done this, ye shall have power, that on whom ye lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost, and in my name shall ye give it. For thus do mine apostles. Now there's too many ye's in there not to be able to believe by faith that they gave you the Holy Ghost when they laid their hands on you after baptism. However, the problem comes up about baptism. And when I first started studying, I was already baptized, and when I was in the seventh grade, Mom kind of pressured us for it. And so when I got to page 161, it said, I know that if you'll follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting your sins and witnessing unto the Father, that you are willing to take upon you the name of your Son by baptism, and by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to His word, behold, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And I knew right away I hadn't done all of those things. And so I got real serious about it and asked to be baptized again, you know. And so they did it. And a minister told me later, you probably didn't have to be rebaptized, but you just have the hands laid on you, because it says if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. And so we didn't know that at the time. But as years went on, I'd be in meetings, you know, and my father-in-law would say, when we left, he'd say, boy, if you didn't feel the Spirit when you was in there, you was missing something. And I thought, what are you talking about? And so I talked to Barbara about it. And over the years, you know, Howard would say that. And so Barbara and I got talking one day, and we just said, you know, we need to find out about this, because we don't know what he's talking about. So we had him come down to the house. He just lived a half a block from us, and we talked about it, and he told us this. He said, you know, it says in there that when I laid hands on you for the gift of the Holy Ghost, if I had it, you got it. And so I thought, well, yeah, that's right. That's what the Word says. And so he left, and I talked to Barbara, and I said, did that do much for you? And she said, well, no, it really didn't. I don't understand. And so I walked over and got my Bible and picked it up, and it's one of those things where you open the pages and start reading, and here's what it said in Galatians 3:14. Actually, I could read verse 13. It talks about Jesus Christ. But verse 14 says, the reason for all this was that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I thought, you know, I think I can do that. I think I can just by faith say, I believe that when those guys laid their hands on me, that I received the Holy Ghost, and I just do that by faith. And so since that time, a lot of things have, happened in our life. After that meeting and finding of that passage. And now we know that we have it. And so it's just neat. And it's not something you can say, well, let me tell you about that, how I got that and what happens and everything, because that's not going to work. It says in, I think it's on page 775, there's two places back there in the back of the book of Mormon, and it says, behold, there are different ways that he did minister these things to the children of men, which were good, and all things which are good comes of Christ, otherwise men are fallen and there's no good thing can happen. So there's different ways that this Holy Ghost is manifested unto you. And so if I tell you, here's how it's supposed to happen, so and so and so and so, it's not going to happen to you that way probably. And so he goes on to say in the Bible, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so I've got a little paper on that, and it just did a whole bunch for me to realize that when I believed that by faith, then I began to know that I did have it. And the second thing that I was wanting to talk about before the piece is about a righteousness that comes by faith. Years ago, I was talking at the Collins, a local, and they were having a rally, and there was a lot of people there. It wasn't just jam-packed, but it was almost plumb full. And so I asked everybody if they had ever heard of a righteousness that come by faith. And one man raised his hand. And I thought, oh my goodness sakes, I can't believe this. And so I didn't say anything about it because I wasn't prepared at that time. And so if any of you don't understand about a righteousness that come by faith, it's in Romans, I think it's chapter 3 and 4, I know for sure, and then maybe 5. And so there's no doubt about it that the Word of God says, this is not a direct quote, but it says, let nobody be deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So you can't just say, well, I'm just going to believe in a righteousness that come by faith, and I'm not going to change my life. That's not going to work. The only way I can explain it is to say there must be two kinds of righteousness. One of them that says, you do it, you got it. And the other one says there's one that come by faith. And the reason I'm telling you that is because when I chose to believe that, it changed my life. It wasn't something I had to memorize or anything I had to go over and over. I just chose to believe that I had a righteousness that come by faith. And it did a whole lot for me. It gave me peace. I stopped struggling so hard. And because of the peace and the stopping from the struggle, my life became more like Christ. And so I want everybody's life to be like that. And so that's why I think it's important to understand that there is a righteousness that comes by faith, because it did something for me. I'm going to tell you about a dream I had. I dreamed I was in a restaurant, and it was kind of a diner type thing, and I was getting up to leave, and two big old colored boys was right on my tail. One of them was, you know, 6'4" and weighed like 350. The other one was kind of short, but he was stocky. He looked like he could just walk through a brick wall. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. And so they started to harass me a little bit, and the manager came over and said, you two guys leave him alone. Stop bothering him. And he said to me to go, and he told the other guys just to stay there for a little while. So I went out of there, and I was walking down an alley, and I looked back, and there was a big old flatbed truck, and those two guys got out of that flatbed truck. And I thought, oh, boy, I started running as fast as I could. And it was one of those city blocks that has a full alley, but only a half alley coming in from one side. And as I ran across in front of that half alley, I looked down it real quick to my left, and there wasn't anything there. There were no trash barrels, no dumpsters, no nothing. There wasn't anything there, just, you know, papers floating and things like that, nothing to hide behind. So as I continue to run, I look behind me again on the right, over my right, to see if those guys were catching up. And when I did look, there was a guy right behind me. And I thought, okay, he didn't come from that alley, because I looked down that alley and there was nobody there. And so I thought, this guy has got to be an angel, because he just come out of nowhere. So as soon as those two guys saw that there were two of us, they turned around and went back to their flatbed truck. When I got out to the street off of the alley, I thought to myself, you know, there's no sense in fooling around with this guy, this angel. You might as well get right down to brass tacks. So I looked at him and I said, do you know anything about angels? And he looked at me, right, pointed his finger right at me and said, you have to be conformed to the image of his son. And so he held up a little cardboard cutout thing that fits over half of one page on a Bible. You know, there's two columns on each page of the Bible. And this thing was cut out. There's a line cut out from the left and a little bigger line cut out from the right and a little hole punched in someplace else, so that if you set that on top of a Bible page, there would just be certain passages of Scripture that would show through. And I knew that those passages were what I needed in my life to be conformed to the image of his son. And so I started reading, and when I come across an outstanding verse, I put them on a sheet of paper that said, you know, that had that verse down there, so I could say, now that's something I need to work on, need to get that in my life, and so forth. So now I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about. I guess I should say that's the introduction. Okay, now, we are called to be at peace. And you have to ask yourself, do I have that peace within me? There are many ways that we can have that peace robbed from us, because the world can give us peace. Now, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled and be not afraid and so forth. So the world can give you a peace. And there's a little problem with that because this word mammon in the Bible, you cannot serve two masters, you know. And one of them is mammon. And they put, in some of the newer versions, they put money in there. And so I thought, I need to go look that up. So I went and looked it up in the Vines, and it said, this word means confidence. And so I thought, well, money is probably a pretty fair rendition of what the word mammon means, because most everybody puts their confidence in money. And but the way this is worded is, it says you can't worship God and mammon. And so mammon must be something that you put in the place of God. And there are so many things that we put our confidence in. We put our confidence in insurance, in our spouses, that, you know, they're going to stay with us all their life. And we put, I like to use my wife as an example. Whenever we had the wood stacked up in the backyard for the winter and the barn full of hay, she just got a special little smile on her face. And she really did like to have that. And I think her confidence was in that we're going to make it through the winter. We got the firewood, and the cows will have their hay to eat, you know, and it just, we're set up and ready to go. But that can be taken away from you so quickly. You know, a barn fire, or somebody can steal your wood, or different things. And so we have to be careful what we put our confidence in, because there's a lot of things you can put your confidence in. So how are you going to figure it out? I'll give you a little clue. Whatever makes you mad or angry is what you had your confidence in, and it was taken from you. So the next time you get angry about anything, just stop and think, why am I angry about this? Might be because I had my confidence in that, and now I've lost it, and I'm angry because I lost it. And so that's what your mammon is, and you need to find out what those things are and get rid of them. I remember I didn't think I had my confidence in my job, but I lost it, and when I did, it was absolutely terrible. It affected me so bad that it changed the expression on my face. I knew it was changed. I could feel that there was a difference in the way I looked, because I was so hurt, so sad, so scared that I wasn't going to have anything. The devil told me, you know, you're not ever going to get another job. You're older now, and you are going to be going from door to door begging for things to be able to feed your wife. And you know, that just depressed me so bad. Here come old Mike Hitt. I tell you what, when you're down and he comes to see you, it's good. He said to me, I told him all these things that were bothering me, and he said, Dad, you know something? He says, if you and Mom have to stand in an open field at night with nothing but moonlight and what clothes you got on your back, he said, that's going to be plenty good enough if you've got the Lord. And you know, that just really did something for me on the inside. It made me realize that it's not all over, that, you know, things are going to be better. And after he said that, somebody come to our house with a pickup load of groceries and just started unloading food and things. We kept some of that stuff for years. It was a rice. It just stayed forever. And you know, when he drove off, I thought, here I thought I was going to be begging from door to door, and I got things so loaded up in this kitchen I can't even get them in the icebox. And so the Lord really did take care of us. But I learned that my confidence is not in my work. That can go just any time. So now I have a different attitude about that. I trust the Lord for everything. You probably read this, but in the CCEG, but that day that Barbara figured out the books, and she said, you know, in 13 days we're going to be $350 overdrawn in the bank, and there's not a thing we can do about it. And it just hit me. It just, you know, socked my spirit. I just got so depressed, and I thought, well, this is, I'm going to have to go pray about this, because this is serious business. On the way in the bedroom, before I ever got to my prayer place, the Lord spoke to me and said, take one day at a time. And I thought, well, I can do that. I've got 13 days that I can take one day at a time. And so those 13 days came and went, and 14 and 15, we never ever got overdrawn at the bank. And I just really did thank the Lord for His word that says, just take one day at a time. Another little story I'd like to tell you. Michael, he had real bad trouble with finances, because he just won't charge people like those other contractors do. He said, I just can't do it. And so he's been struggling, and so he thought, he prayed about it. Said, Lord, you know, I need your help on this. I've got to have some help. And so for the next 2 months, everything went just super, super. And he thought, boy, that's real. I'm going to go get the check register and look in there and see what I did, so I can, you know, be aware and keep doing it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, go ahead if you think you can. And I thought, that's the way the Lord works. He just works things out when it's impossible to work out. So don't put your confidence in anything but the Lord. Just trust Him from day to day. Now let me see here. I'll get back to my... Here's a place from Alma. And now we're back on peace. It says, now, as I said unto you before, and I said, you've had so many witnesses, I beseech you, don't procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. And so we're talking about repentance from not having peace in your life. And you must have the peace with you right now, because if you're waiting until later to straighten out your life, you'll never make it. You'll just be in the wrong place at the wrong time when God starts to move in the world, and you'll miss it. And then Alma goes on and says, for this day is the day to prepare for eternity. If you don't improve your time while in this life, there comes a night of darkness when no labor can be performed. I say unto you, when you are brought to this awful crisis. Now, this is the crisis I've got down here. It could be death or the tribulation. So when you're brought to this awful crisis, you can't say to yourself, I'm going to repent and return to my God. He says, you can't say this, for the same spirit that possesses your bodies at the time you go out of this life has that power to possess it in the eternal world. All that sounds very, very serious. So you better have peace and get it in your life right now. Something else that sounds real serious is in Moroni, chapter 7. It says, wherefore, if a man have faith, he must also have a need to have hope. For without faith, there can't be any hope. And again, I say unto you that he can't have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. And so, If so, his faith and hope is vain, for none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. And if you're meek and lowly of heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is Christ, he must needs have charity, for he can't have, if he don't have charity, he's nothing. So, peace is part of being meek and lowly of heart. And so if you're not meek and lowly of heart, you're not acceptable before God. So peace is so very, very important. With all these dangers before us, like the night of darkness, becoming subject to the spirit of the devil, and the spirit of the Lord withdrawing for us, and not being acceptable to God, we need to know right now that we have peace. And so, you have to remember in your life that if something happens to make you angry, or you don't have peace, the whole thing is a setup. You've got to remember that the things that happen to you are just a setup, because you need some changes in your life. And a lot of us are blind to the changes that we have in our life. David said, Lord, show me my secret faults. And so a lot of us have secret faults, and unless we ask for them, we're not going to find out what they are. So anytime you run under a problem, if you could just remember that this whole thing is a setup to see how you're going to react. And so that's kind of hard to remember, because when most of us get in some kind of trouble or fall or worry or concern, the thing from our mind is to stop and say, now let me see, is this a setup? And so another thing, if you run into problems in your life that rob your peace, you have to stop and think, what did I send out that is coming back to me? The Bible talks about it, cast your bread on the water, you know, and it swells up and comes back to you. And so if you send something out, most of us send out things from our mouth, and now you're having all kind of trouble, just stop and think, did I do something that has caused this setup? My grandson, Ryan, Michael's son, was in Walmart, and his wife had been in there and had the new tires put on. They screwed that thing up bad. They really did. And so he took it back, and he was looking at the window while they were working on it, you know, and he's getting more angry. And so he said, I am going to straighten him out. So Michael walked out. He was just looking at the batteries and stuff, and the Lord spoke to him and said, whatever Ryan says to these guys is going to come back to him on the job. And so Michael went over and told Ryan, he said, man, whatever you send out, it's going to come back to you. You're going to forget this whole thing, and then something is going to happen to you, and you are going to be in the position of those guys out there putting the tires on, and there's going to be somebody else getting after you for not doing what you did right. And so Ryan kind of cooled down a whole bunch, and it made a difference. And it made a difference in Michael's life, too, because he knew. Well, I guess that's about the size of it. Guard your heart, people. Guard your heart. Keep peace. If something's making you angry, find out what it is and see if it's not something that's one of your toys that you've got to have that brings you peace. And just keep on keeping on. I guess that's about all I have to say. Let me see, I'm going to read one thing here. When we realize that our only hope is in God, not our job. Let's see how I read it here. So, I started going through the house every day and reading the Word of God out loud. I read a thing that said, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I read, no weapon that is formed against me will prosper, and any tongue that riseth up against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn, and this is the heritage of the saints, and their righteousness is of me. And another thing I read is, don't think it strong concerning the fiery trials that try you, as though something strange has happened to you. But rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. These words and other things were said that I said just to keep my confidence up as I went through the time of my trial and so forth. And at the time of the federal trial that I had to go through because of what happened at work. So, that's it. I thank you very much. And I'm going to ask you again, are there any questions?
I don't see any around my kitchen table.
Okay. Thank you guys very much for letting me talk. I really do appreciate it, and I hope this will help your life.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
And I wanted to kind of piggyback on a couple of things that you had said there, and because I think it's important for us to, you know, the old saying, you know, what goes around comes around, what you send out will come back to you, you know, casting your bread on the waters. And that's something that we need to do is when we're in, well, when we're in one of these tight spots, like Ryan was in, and sometimes even when we're not, to kind of check ourselves and our approach. Not for the purpose of self-recrimination, because I don't want anybody to get the idea that what I'm saying is that if anything bad happens to you, then it's all your own fault.
Mm-hmm.
But to think about the fact that, okay, am I responding to this situation in the way that Jesus would have me to do so that he can bless me in whatever's about to happen?
Yeah.
If we can just kind of, you know, do that for ourselves, we'll help ourselves. And if, you know, if we are doing well, then that's good. That's something that can give us confidence. And if not, then we can alter our approach, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of everybody around us. Even the people that we're dealing with that may not necessarily be dealing with us in good faith. And so, thanks for those words, Don.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and turn off the recording now, so just stand by.